Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you take it, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin right here on the numbers game, live from Circa. How you doing this morning,
sir? Doing well, man. How you doing?
I'm good. We're totally not rushed setting up for the show.
We don't get enough time to bond pre-show anymore, you know?
No, it's a little, it's like the...
It's like a whole 3 minutes less.
A pit crew thing.
It is, yes. NASCAR pit crew.
Which is how radio is normally done, but we were so used to the D, like having all day to do whatever.
We got spoiled.
Well,
yeah.
We're headed back to the D, everybody. No, we're not. Sorry. Just a joke. On the show today, Crack, Zach and Crack, each and every Thursday on the show, Zach Cohen, VSiN senior editor, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together, quite frankly. He's got all his plays. I don't know if he's betting any tennis. We'll find that out. But he certainly is betting football and the NBA as well. We will get to Zach and then Crack, Unscripted. There is nothing like it. Bill Krakenberger, whatever he is on his mind, coming up hour number two on the show. And we'll do our Larceny Bourbon Smooth Bet of the Week. Coming up as well. Do we match on the smooth bet of the week?
No, we don't. It's just yours, but I agree with your play. How about that?
All right.
So we'll talk through it. Yeah.
By the way, speaking of the NBA, which we did moments ago when we were talking about Zach coming up, did you race to get all your Zachary Risacher Rookie of the Year tickets yesterday after he dropped 33 for the Hawks in a victory yesterday?
A winning bet for me on the Hawks. That was on a screen for the entire game, Kill. I didn't realize till the very end of the game that he had hit 30 points. I was like, I feel like he's been active, but what, 30?
It was one of those things that came across the crawl at the bottom of the screen, and I'm like, wait, what? Did I miss? Like, when I was gone, is he a thing? No, it just started yesterday.
Also, if you had asked me like preseason, is this guy going to score 30 points in a game at all this year? I'd probably be like, nah, probably not.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Bullets guy, the Wizards guy, Alexander Sarr, his field goal percentage is horrific. Have you looked at this over the course of the season so far?
Yeah. I don't think it matters though. I love the opportunities. If you're betting on Rookie of the Year, hey, I'm going from a complete betting perspective, right?
Yeah. As we do.
Yeah. Developmental wise, maybe a little bit more questionable, but yeah, he's getting a lot of shots. I'm getting a lot of minutes. I do like him Rookie of the Year right now. If I had to make a single bet, that's probably where I'd go.
Also, since there's making the joke about Risacher and the overreaction, even though he is the short shot to win Rookie of the Year. But do you see the kid for Creighton? I say kid. He's like, he's played at Creighton for 7 years. It feels like Ryan Cockburner, who, ended up with 49 yesterday.
Yeah, it was wild.
49 on 20 of 22 shooting. He's 7-1. They were playing UT Rio Grande, I believe, Rio Grande Valley. Not like they were playing the 84 Hoyas, Kelly. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about the 84 Hoyas, by the way? Anyway, 49 for him. So that was interesting in basketball. Tonight, Thursday night football. Enough of that baloncesto. You have a play on this game, Bengals and Ravens?
You know what I do? I do. It feels like the
well, I might too. Let's see if I can. What are you going to do?
Feels like the squarest, most boring thing ever. But this Ravens offense is so high powered, and this Bengals defense can't stop anything. I'd play team total over on the Ravens.
Team total over, yeah, on the Ravens.
29.5 is where I got it at yesterday. I just sat and stared at this all week. I think if I had to play a side, Gil, I'd probably take the points with Cincinnati. Massive game tonight, though. If you're someone like me and my friend at the desk here who maybe got a division ticket on the Bengals roughly, what, 7 months ago or something like that?
That was our first bet by far season.
Yeah. First NFL bet. I mean, this game, it's a must-win game for Cincinnati. And if they do win it, they are lurking right there for the division.
They are lurking. That's as we can give them that. They're lurkers. By the way, we went over yesterday, AFC make-miss playoffs. considering that, and we're going to go over NFC here coming up momentarily. This game tonight, always with Thursday Night Football, I lean heavily on the great work of Sean Corner over there at Action Network. We got to get him on the show, by the way.
Yeah,
and I always say by saying, it's like I'm not familiar with him beyond Thursdays. Maybe he does great work also beyond Thursdays, but at least on Thursdays. One of the things he points out, and this has been a theme we have done really well on Thursday Night Football, talking about the sustainability of things, right? A lot of sports handicapping is trying to identify what is sustainable, what is unsustainable. Or as the kids call it today, what is signal and what is noise. Lamar Jackson, 20 touchdowns, 2 picks this year, by the way, in 9 games. But he's got a little hitch in his giddy up still. He is not on the injury report. You wonder, though, because last week, what did he have? 3 rushes, 3 carries for 4 yards. Mm. So you wonder if that's going to be part of the Ravens' whole calculus tonight, or if they still sort of, pull back the reins on that. T. Higgins likely gone for the Bengals tonight. So there's that as well. But I was talking about the sustainability, unsustainability, and Corner does a great job of this. Both teams currently, what's the total here? 52.5. And this total has gone nothing but up.
Yeah, 52.5. That'll be on the low end from what you're going to find out there. Yeah. I saw a 53.5 this morning.
I 53 is about consensus right now. Yeah. We're showing 52.5 on the screen. So this has to do with the total. So both teams currently rank high in red zone touchdown percentage. Now, what does that mean? Again, we've talked about this on Thursday Night Football multiple times this year. Just give you an example, right? That the Saints, do you think of the Saints as a good offense? They're a top 5 red zone touchdown percentage team. The Packers and Niners, on the other hand, which most people think of as good offenses when they're all fully healthy, they rank in the bottom 5 for red zone touchdown percentage. So all of that stuff tends to regress, right? Because it's not your red zone touchdown percentage is not a true reflection of how good or bad you are. Sometimes you can go full seasons and under or overperform on that. But typically when you're handicapping, it's sort of your job to figure out, oh, they've been getting the best of it. Oh, they've been getting the worst of it. So in this case, with the Bengals and the Ravens, both of these teams rank very high in red zone touchdown percentage. So they've been getting the best of it. The Bengals, for instance, the last 3 weeks before this game against the Raiders, where they dropped 41 points. But remember the 41-24 final, I believe it was. That was an over, but there was a pick six. And then the Bengals were set up, I think it was twice in the Raiders red zone on turnovers. The 3 games before that, the Bengals went 17-21-17 in terms of their team totals against the Giants, the Browns, and the Eagles. So throw that in the mix. Also, that Bengals offensive lineman Orlando Brown could be ruled out tonight. He is, you talk about the Orlando Brown and the T. Higgins impacts. Higgins got the quad injury. He's probably out. Burrow's production takes a hit without him. Goes 8.0 yards per drop back when Higgins is on the field, just 5.5 yards per attempt without him. And remember, when Higgins is on there, it tends to really help Ja'Marr Chase. Without Higgins, Ja'Marr gets the double coverage sort of treatment. When they played the Ravens last time, it was both Chase and Higgins. Just to give you an example, Chase went 10 for 193 and 2 touches, and Higgins was 9 for 83 and 2 touchdowns. You take Higgins out, that changes that tremendously as well. As far as Orlando Brown is concerned, the Bengals also take a big hit without him in the lineup as well when it comes to rushing yards. Chase Brown, who has really taken over in the backfield, they average, let me see when we get the yards on this, 4.5 yards per rush with Brown, with Orlando Brown, that is, right? 3.8 without him. So there's that as well. So I'm putting all this into the mix to sort of support the under here, right? You have the absence of Higgins, you have the absence of Brown, which hurts the Ravens stats, both in the passing and the running game. When you go to the other side of the ball, right? And again, big shout out to Sean Corner on this. This is, Derrick Henry time, right? One would assume because the Bengals are ranked 23rd in rush DVOA. Aaron Schatz is that. We had Aaron on the show yesterday talking NFL. So the only thing about that, though, is the Bengals are actually really good about initiating contact early. They've allowed the 4th fewest yards before contact, the 4th lowest explosive run rate. So that perhaps could contain to some degree, to a degree enough for the under to hit. because you're containing Derrick Henry in that sense, even though overall you're not very good against the run. So there's that sort of muting of it, if you will. Ravens will be without Isaiah Likely. Throw that in as well. And though they acquired Deontay Johnson, he's only going to be in his second game. So you wonder, he really didn't get really that much of an impact in his first. It's probably too much to expect him to go nuts and have a big impact in game number two.
On a short week.
Yep. Exactly. So all of that stuff, right, seems to lend to the under. And again, right now it's 53. The strategy here, though, Kelly, right? I may use that. The strategy here would be to wait. I don't think there's any rush. As people keep putting money in on the over in this game, the strategy for me as someone who would want to bet the under is to wait as patiently as you need to, because I think this is only going to go up between now and game time. I could be wrong about that, but that's the instinct.
Yeah, what's the usual we see with primetime games, especially Thursday, right? Favorites and overs, and that can't be said enough, probably. So, yeah, I think if you are looking at the under, no reason to rush to bet it right now.
Yeah, and the other thing is, since Zach Moss has gone out of the lineup, Chase Brown has made the Bengals running game that much better as well. That also lends to the churning of the clock. So, again, I'm not touching the side here. I think on guessing lines, I guessed 6 or 6.5.
Yeah, you were right on that.
So it was right on that, and that's what it is. I don't really see any value there. But if it's anything for me tonight, it's the under, and I'm sort of talking myself into it.
Massive game. I can't wait to watch this. Feels like we got a great slate of primetime games this week. Feels like it's been a little while since we've had that. But yeah, this is huge. I mean, MVP race, this is huge for tonight as well. Like, I mean, Lamar, you talked about the rushing stats.
All the Joe Burrow stuff we talked about this week, potentially, who is it? Will Hill that said maybe offensive player of the year.
Yep.
Aaron Schott said maybe comeback player of the year. So we'll see. He's got a lot of touchdown passes, but this would be a game on center stage, right? Standalone game where everybody's, you'd hope the voters would be watching everything.
Right.
But you don't know. I mean, this has a big impact, and they are human beings after all who could be influenced by something like this. So that's my thought. And under, if anything. And I'll do the Megapod after this. Todd Wishnev, Will Hill, and I will do the Megapod. Mike Pritchard is our guest.
Oh, nice.
And we'll find out if that is one of my three picks of the week. I may. Half game, normal game and a half behind Todd on the year.
Todd's the leader right now?
He was way up.
Whoa.
Yeah, I have cut the lead significantly. He's not beating me. That kid's not beating me. We'll come back. NFC make miss playoffs next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you the type of guy? Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing Sporttrade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. -104 lines instead of the typical -110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. Sporttrade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Sporttrade live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and now the Commonwealth of Virginia. Download Sporttrade. Use code VSiN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. You got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Look at Virginia getting Sporttrade.
Let's go.
DC and Maryland looking over with jealousy.
That's right. Should I sum up our Coach of the Year conversation on the break?
Yes, you did. Please do that.
Gil, there's a 90, in my opinion... 95% chance that it's either Dan Quinn, Kevin O'Connell, Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, or Mike Tomlin. Just can't narrow it down further than that.
Excellent job. Stepping out on a limb. Well done. But that reflects, Dan, that's a good easy reflection of what it is.
Yeah, really. I think it's very wide open right now between those guys.
As for our discussion on NFC make or miss, BG McAvoy on Twitter, we get tweets. BG McAvoy says, after this week, Tampa has an easy schedule, he said. Tampa has an easy schedule. By the way, Trip Tepper chimes in. In the NFC playoff odds, can I pitch you guys on the Buccaneers? Yes. To make the playoffs. They have a very soft schedule after this week. So half a unit now, half a unit if they lose to the Niners. How about that?
I think those wide receiver injuries are massive for that team.
I
kind of wrote them off after Godwin and Evans both got hurt. Evans will be back here at some point, but is it enough? I don't know that it is. And again, just going back to what we were talking about, I think you have to believe in them winning the NFC South. So you got to have you've got to be fading the Falcons a bit too. And I just don't know that I'm there yet.
Yeah. What was their number on the yes? By the way, do you know? Do you see that offhand? I can't remember what it was, but yes.
I'll grab it.
A couple votes for yes from Twitter. And then Mark Maynard at Easterly One. Hey, Gil, don't mean to rain on your taco holders, but is Tomlin versus a rookie quarterback the start of the Kingsbury second half of the season effect, or is Daniels immune to the Kingsbury effect? What Mark is referring to, and Mark, thank you for the kind note. By the way, I should say this again. Hundreds of just the nicest notes about my mom. I will get back to all of them. I'm doing some every day, but there's hundreds of them. But Mark Maynard was one of them. But here, what he's referring to with the Kingsbury effect, Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech, everywhere he's been, like even going all the way back to college, there's these amazing starts. The Arizona Cardinals, same thing, right? He has a history of amazing starts to a season, and then just absolute meltdowns. The team just crashes as you go down the stretch. So Mark is basically saying, what's going to win out, right? Jaden Daniels' awesomeness, or does the Kingsbury effect kick in this week against the magic beans of Mike Tomlin? It's a great question. I can't wait to find out.
That's going to be a great game.
Yeah.
+210 on the Bucks.
+210 on the Bucks. So even that, so that's the thing. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
So you guys might be right, but +210 is not enough to make me want to make that bet. It's not nearly sexy.
Yeah,
enough.
If that was like 4-1, sure. Maybe. Yeah. I love Baker Mayfield this year. I love him.
That mark is terrible. It's so priced correctly.
It really is.
Yeah, it's awful. Sorry about that, guys. Zach Cohen joins us now, ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him at Betting on X on the Twitter machine. He's a VSiN senior editor, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. Zach, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Can I ask you guys a question?
Please.
What do you guys think about Jonathan Gannon or Sean McVay for Coach of the Year? Because I kind of think both those teams have a shot at the NFC West.
Who brought up Gannon the other day? Somebody brought up Gannon.
Oh, they're my other 5%, yeah. Zach. I said 95%. Okay?
He's got them on the list too, Zach. He's like a quarter of the league deep on these. Sean McVay, I don't know. Do you feel like Sean McVay would actually get enough votes? I'm not sure he would, even though he's great, obviously. And they've had a lot of injuries themselves. What's the threshold? You have to ask yourself, what's the threshold on all these? So the Rams and Cardinals, it's make playoffs.
I don't even think it's that. I think it's probably win division.
Win division?
Yeah. I think it's win division for one of those guys.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, if you win the division, right, you beat out the Niners, then you really... So that's the angle there. It's not bad, actually. Yeah. Thank you, Zach. Thanks for coming.
thanks for coming.
Yeah, you've done enough already.
You would get better odds on those guys than those teams to win the division. Well, so
that's why. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to speak for Zach, but that's why, right? So that's the, because they could possibly eke out the division, there's the obvious path. Because that would be a tough case to beat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the Lions go 15-2, right? Or something like that. You know.
I didn't even have Campbell in my five, in the five guys.
I love how Zach brings it up and then we're like batting it around. Sorry about that, Zach. Apologize. Let me ask you this before you give us more football and basketball thoughts. Tennis. I just want to bring this up because you and I are tennis hardos, and it's the WTA finals this week. And I'm just curious, are you betting any of this? Because I am not.
I have been betting it. Yeah, I actually, before the tournament, I took Sabalenka and Qin Wen Zheng to win. They were both in the same group. I just had read that the conditions were insanely fast. And once I saw that, I kind of ruled out Iga and Coco as contenders, although Coco has looked great. But I do think that Sabalenka or Zheng is going to get the job done, and we're entering the semifinals soon. So I do really like Sabalenka after what we've seen. And I am looking forward to betting the ATP finals next week, which will be, you know, Novak Djokovic list, but still a pretty good list.
Let me rephrase that. Are you betting it match to match, though?
Not at this point. I was betting the ones that counted. I don't like it as we get later in the round robin play. We don't really know what's going on. You know, today we had Kasatkina playing for Pegula, and it becomes a mess.
Yeah, it becomes a real mess. Kasatkina went in for the injured Jesse Pegula. She's going to be fine, Kelly. Don't worry.
Good.
She's got a bit of cash that she can fall back on.
All right.
But Iga rolls her, right? Iga rolls Kasatkina, and then. Let me just ask you also, and then, yeah, you're right. Like yesterday, Rybakina beat Sabalenka in a match that didn't matter for either of them, right? Yeah. Rybakina's out, Sabalenka's in. So it's a whole thing. And then the only other question I have is this. Was this not supposed to be outdoor hard court, Zach, and is now indoor? Am I missing something?
I'm not sure. I just... I just know that that's, they were saying that the speeds of the courts were like insane in practice. I'm not sure where it was supposed to be. I know that they're probably a little bit happier to be playing indoor hard court than last year when they were playing like uneven surfaces in Cancun or whatever it was. But it's a really weird situation, and there's no fans in the stands either. So it's a real mess of last year.
It's literally, for those who don't know, I probably should have said this. It's the eight best. They're trying to keep interest after the slams, right?
Yeah.
So they put these finals. It's the eight biggest, the eight highest point totalers, you know, from the whole season, just like golf. And so you have the eight best female tennis players in the world in this group stage. And then they go into a bracket thing. And there's, like Zach said, there's like three people there.
What are we spotted on Monday? I asked you why they were playing in the Hoosiers gym. Like, that's what it looks like. Every one of these gyms.
Dark. It's like, and they're the eight human beings, the eight female human beings that are best at this activity, and nobody's there. It's all. Anyway, so you do have the futures on it. Okay. Good luck to you on those. Let's go to the NBA. Anything today on, of course, a short Thursday schedule?
Yeah, so I'm playing the Blazers reluctantly at +4 against the Spurs. I don't really think that Portland's a good team. Actually, one of my least favorite teams to watch in the league. But the Spurs are playing the second night of a back-to-back. This is going to be their sixth game since October 30th. They've just played a lot of basketball on top of the fact that they're dealing with, you know, the situation with Greg Popovich, which can't be easy. You know, they're saying he has a serious health condition, so they're not, you know, without their head coach right now. And the Blazers have had 2 days of rest since beating the Pelicans on Monday. They've been a team that has been solid under, you know, with rest under Chauncey Billups, 19-14 against the spread when playing with two or more days rest. I just think this is going to be a bit of a close game. The Spurs have been really, really bad offensively this season, 27th in the league in adjusted offensive rating. And the Blazers have been a little better than expected defensively, 18th in the league. So I think the Spurs are going to have a hard time scoring. And I think this will be a game that comes down to the final possession or so.
Okay. Your favorite NFL week 10. Do you have anything tonight, first of all, and then the rest of the week?
You know, this is probably my favorite bet of the week tonight. Is I like the over 52.5 in this Bengals Ravens game. I think that these two defenses just can't be trusted to get stops. And I know that the Ravens obviously are unbelievable offensively, possibly the best team in the league. So the Bengals are going to have their work cut out for them and stopping them. That's kind of why I ended up laying off the +6, even though I do like Cincinnati a little bit tonight. But I just think this is going to be a game where the teams go back and forth. We saw it happen already when they played in Cincinnati a couple of weeks ago. I don't think it's going to get, you know, too different from what we saw last time. Burrow has kind of quietly had an amazing season for as bad as the Bengals have been.
Sure.
He's up there in, you know, pretty much every single metric. I was really tempted to take him to win MVP a few weeks ago, and I didn't, but I ended up losing that game to the Eagles, which he probably would have needed to win in order to even be in that conversation.
Real quick, anything college you like best?
College was really tough for me this week. I did end up playing Utah against BYU, which is it's tough for me because I had Utah to win this, you know, the Big 12 this year, and has just been a complete lost season with Cam Rising getting injured. You know, they fired their offensive coordinator, Andy Ludwig. It's been a really ugly year in terms of that offense, but they have had a bye week to kind of figure things out and try to get that thing going. And defensively, I just think that they're going to have a lot of success against BYU's offense, which I still don't really believe in.
All right. Don't look now. I love that for that sports phrase. Don't look now, which means look. The Warriors are a phoenix rising from the ashes. Just want to point that out.
Looking good.
Oh, boy. Could they be doing this again? Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it. Thanks for the Jonathan Gannon and Sean McVay note as well. Zach Cohen, everybody. Betting on X. Crack coming up.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. So many ways to take us in. Appreciate any of those ways. Just thank you, thankful rather, for you allowing us to be part of your morning each and every morning between these hours. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside, and of course, it's the second hour of our Thursday shows on a numbers game. You know what that means. Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. And it goes like this. No intro? Oh, no intro. Hey. Didn't have an intro today.
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't have the mic in. Oh, wow. That's
very nice. There we go.
Oh.
Oh, there you go. Hit it. There you go. Best intro in the biz.
Hey,
better late than never. How you doing? By the way, you came in First of all, good to see you. I haven't seen you a couple weeks.
Good to see you too.
You came in. I was like, "Are you? Why are you so subdued? Why are you somber?" And what did you say to me?
Someone said, "Hey, can you do me a favor? I need I need five figures, by the way. I just need five figures.
Yeah, real quick.
just for a week.
Yeah.
So, but it's you know, someone in our business. So he's a you know, and he's actually a partner of mine. That we do some stuff together, we make a lot of money together. So of course I'm going to say yes. You know, pay someone else for me.
Sure.
But it's just a matter of the, like, our business is so different, and it just happens. I was walking through the door, but like perfect example. We were talking on the break for a second there before I came on. It's the reason why I tell my wife nothing. She knows nothing about figures or money going somewhere. You can't tell your wife. And people out there that are listening and watching us are going to relate to this.
So agree with this.
No, but even these guys, because I always say that, you know, I do a dozen shows a week during football, and you have an astute gambling audience.
The best,
so,
Billy.
You know,
the best.
I'm not just saying that because I'm here. I don't say that on any other show. You know, some things I have to dummy it down for a lot of shows because the producer will say, hey, you have to put that in more layman's terms. But people will understand this, I believe, on the show. And I got the new Kangol hat. That's right. The blue.
LL Cool J and Bill Krakenberger.
Yeah, it's a different kind of style.
Keeping Kangols alive.
I got a new one. Anyway, so listen. So, and this is for everyone out there, too. I'm sure you guys understand this, too. In our world, when you're dealing with so many people, partners, friends, people you're, you know, maybe, you know, dealing back and forth with money, you never want to tell someone, you never want to tell your wife, hey, you know, Gil owes me $50,000. And now let's use a number. He owes me 12 grand. Gil owes me 12 grand. Man, I hope I get this 12 grand. I hope I get it this week. And you never want to tell your other one, your spouse or your other, you know, significant other, because they only hear someone owes my husband money or my boyfriend money.
Yeah.
They don't know that you know, that's an everyday thing, you and I going back and forth with money, or, you know, and they'll say, and they'll always remember, even though you pay me.
That's right.
They're always going to remember.
That's exactly
that son
right.
Son of a B, he owes my husband money. He's no good. So then when I invite you over to Thanksgiving dinner.
Right.
They say, you're inviting that guy that owed you money.
As we're putting on the stuffing. That's right.
Yeah. And but however, though.
By the way, disclaimer, I do not owe Bill 12 grand.
No. But
your point is well taken. I'm not making the comparison here,
yeah.
But then I'm going to get into a totally different subject. But just to take it like one step further, remember when Bernie Madoff was finally convicted of the crimes? They finally caught him doing what he was doing. And the big question afterwards was, oh, his wife had to know what he was doing. Man, she didn't know anything. No chance.
It's funny. I watched a lot of things on Bernie Madoff. Yeah. I'm going to say no way.
But remember how many people said that?
Didn't know. The two sons.
Oh, the sons definitely didn't know.
Okay. I'm going to say they didn't know either.
The sons had horribly tragic endings to their lives.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I know that the one died of cancer, but I swear that could speed up your cancer. The stress on top of it.
I believe it. I absolutely believe it. But remember at the beginning, everyone was, oh, she had to know. She didn't know. That doesn't mean that she shouldn't have had to give everything back. She should have, but that's a different story.
And Bernie asked her to take $10 million out a month earlier. If you remember, there was a transfer from her account for $10 million. She's only going by what Bernie said. But $10 million there is like, you know, 25 grocery dollars to us.
That's right.
You're like, okay, yeah, Bernie. It's like she doesn't even know what she's doing.
Anyway, I wasn't trying to compare the two things, but I'm just saying that's a – I totally agree with you as – you and I tend to, you especially, because you've all also been in documentaries where they show you carrying a lot of cash. You've got even a system of rubber banding your cash, which is interesting. But what does this come down to, Bill? This, what we're talking about is that we just live, and because we're not saying this with any kind of bravado, it's just that we exist in such a specific world. Right. Not just you and I, but those of us that bet in sports. Right.
Yeah.
And it's so unrelatable.
It's unrelatable
other people.
To regular people, you know, regular people like and you know, I use the word civilians. People get upset. I say, you know, he's a civilian. I tell my guys, the guy's a civilian. You can't do that to him. Like, I'm not trying.
He's a civilian.
He's a civilian.
That's right.
You can't put this kind of money. Even on the shows, like you said, the documentaries, I wouldn't carry anything big. I carried like 30 grand. Like, they wanted me to carry $100,000 to the window. I said, that's not me. I said, that's not, yeah. I don't do that.
That's right. You refused to
I refused to carry any big money, you know? But I did show people how to put the $10,000 pack, and everyone loves that. It's a $10,000 pack. You put $10 bills, fold it, go one way, the other way on top of each other, four rubber bands, nice and tight.
A little checkered thing.
Yeah. It's like a Kit Kat bar. You just put it right in your pocket. You can put a couple of them in your pocket, you know? And
just like a Kit Kat bar.
Yeah. But you're right, though. And I don't want to come off wrong to people, but I just thought about, I didn't know we were going to talk about it on air, about these kind of figures that go back and forth. And you, to most people, it would be like, what? But not to really our audience going back and forth with money like that. And, you know, in the poker community, too, it's the same thing. No, poker guys, you know, go back and forth and throw white chips and $5,000 flags, which are white $5,000 chips, back and forth like it's like they're candy bars, like nothing.
JC on Twitter, not telling the wife is key. We go to Vegas 7-8 times a year. She doesn't know how many big bets, how big my bets are, but as long as I get her a gift, she turns a blind eye at home with my credit account too.
I'm surprised though, a wife. If that was a girlfriend, maybe.
Yeah, that's funny.
But and you know, it's got to be. My wife knows not to even ask. She doesn't ask anything. Listen, the bills are paid. Everything's paid. That's all you have to know. You don't have no credit card debt. You have no card debt. You have no house debt. You know, like she knows not to ask.
Yeah.
However, I understand if newbies. You know, and especially if you're going to get married, they have to be petrified that you're a gambler. Now you have her parents now, I'm sure, saying, be careful because he's a gambler. That's why, like years ago, I wouldn't even tell people up until a decade ago that I gambled for a living because they would say automatically he's a degen. You know, that's just the way it would go. And now, you know, when PAPS was repealed and all of a sudden now it's all fashionable and it's everywhere. You bet sports. Can you? I swear it's just happened. Where was I at last week? I was at there was a Zork Fest over at it was called Zork Fest.
Zork Fest. That's right.
Yeah. I went in there. Anthony Curtis was speaking. And after it was over, the second seminar, someone came up to me, handed a card and said, hey, here's my card. My son's trying to bet sports. He wants to bet. And can you help him? And I thought she was saying, I thought exactly opposite of what I thought. I was like, listen, I'll definitely talk to him. Like, you know, this is not for everyone. And responsible gambling is a big thing of mine. I took it wrong. She goes, no. He wants to win. He don't have a problem. He just wants to be able to win.
Oh, so, I'll tell you what.
I thought I was trying to help the kid from being a gambler. Like, you know.
Well, so it's funny because this actually touches on both of the things we're talking about. So when I was at Shiva for my mom, there's a couple, and I love the wife dearly. She was asking me about, I don't know how we got on the subject of she was like, you carry cash around? I was like, yeah. And then I told her, like, how much is in my apartment or whatever at different times. And she's just flabbergasted by it. But she also brings up a story that when her son was a teenager and he was deciding what he wanted to do for a living, he thought what I did was cool and he wanted to, you know, bet and all this. And I immediately told her, I was like, no. Because it was my test to see how many times he would come back. If he came back to me like 5, 6, 7 times, whatever, and was super adamant about it, then I would have been like, okay, let's do this. Let's talk about this,
right.
You know, very systematically.
Yeah.
But I would never immediately say yes to a kid's instinct on it.
Sure. And you want to actually, more than anything, I talk about responsible gambling so much that immediately my brain was reset to, oh yeah, I'll help him. I'm going to tell him this is not for everyone because, Gil, I'm going to tell you something. We never talk about this. I actually wouldn't recommend what I do for anyone now.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Now I wouldn't recommend.
Now, because it's harder to beat.
Listen, there was bonuses in the day.
Yeah.
That you can make a living off the bonuses back in the 90s when I started. Literally. Early 2000s even. And even when these sports books, the FanDuels, the DraftKings, all the big sports books started up, boy, you could make a living for the first 2 years off bonuses.
Yeah.
It's definitely different now.
My reasoning wasn't necessarily that. My reasoning was if you are not committed to this as a, you know, year after year, lifelong kind of thing, like if it's not in your DNA innately to do this, and it's not something that you will do for a very long period of time, I'm not interested in talking to you. Like, you will have to show, even if it was my own kid, right? If it was my own kid and they expressed an interest, it would take me years to finally be like, okay, I see the seeds of what you're doing. Like, you kind of get it. Let's talk about this. Let's see how this would go.
But the kids are influenced by all these social media scammers.
Yes, they
are. And BS casino wins.
That's what I mean.
I'm seeing more people now on the internet tell stories about casino wins. Listen, this is going to, I usually don't talk about any one individual. I don't do this normally. There's this guy out there. You guys all know who he is. The tattoos, Mickey Mouse. You know what I'm talking about, this kid?
I do
that
not.
Says that he won all this money. The casinos hate me, and he's selling a system for $50 million. And everyone's listening to him, by the way. He gets millions of views. Give me a break. The casinos chased him out, he said, on documentaries. They chased him out of the casino because he won so much money, and were trying to get their money back. I mean,
oh, I've seen that.
You had to see.
I saw
everywhere.
That. Yeah.
I just can't. Our audience is going to know automatically probably who it is, and they're going to realize.
But that's what we're up against.
You're up against that. These kids see that.
And can I tell you something?
And they believe it automatically.
There is such a little chance that we can ever beat that.
And that, very good. Yeah. I didn't think of that part.
It's so relentless. That it's unless our platform was 10x or 100x, it's so tough to beat that.
It probably shouldn't even get mentioned.
Yeah, that relentless propaganda.
Very good.
Unscripted with the Crackman, Bill Krakenberger at Bill Krakenman with a K on Twitter. Coming right back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino here in downtown Las Vegas. Hey, don't forget this deal is still in full effect with so many sports in action. There's no better time to put the VSiN experts to work for you. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to our daily best bets, 19 hours of live programming, power, strength, and better ratings, plus our exclusive betting splits. Start your VSiN Pro subscription today for as little as $9.99. It's $9.99 U.S. currency. And see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Ice Cold Gambler. Jason says, wow, Bill, can you please write a book of just all the truths of life that you speak on a numbers game? Always great stories, but 100% truth. The wife can never know anything because she will hate all your friends.
That's even better wording. Thank you, whoever wrote that to you.
That resonated with people. Yes. Judd O'Connor, taking one of those NFC West coaches won't be enough. Ryan's overexceeded expectations last year, and Stefanski won it with a loaded roster. Quinn, KOC, Tomlin, all based on preseason conviction and overachieving. It's a good point. It's a good point about D'Amico Ryans. So many of us, not of us, but a lot of folks had D'Amico Ryans Coach of the Year tickets last year, and it gets clipped at the end by Stefanski. B's bets. I was in Vegas 2 weeks ago, and my wife stayed behind with her girlfriends, asked me for a few bets. I started with a $1,000 bet and then got to $3,000. She was freaking out and was nauseous placing the bet. Bad move on my part. She asks daily now.
Wow, thousands, $3,000. This is not even
now she has
$10. This is thousands of dollars.
Now she has too many questions, he's saying. Get the money racing front wraps. He says, this is the best Bill Krakenman spot ever, he says.
Oh, thanks.
Stringfellow Hawk. Oh, Stringfellow Hawk is out here. He says, hey, fellas, visiting from North Carolina. I'm hanging out in the book. Would love to say hello after the show. We would love to say hello to you as well. And then, can't read that one. Let's see.
Boop, 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 boop. I can read that one.
Three Jack, H3131. Gil, you could easily increase your influence by 10x if you were a busty girl that walked around offering bits of betting advice. Tennis talk with, there's always that. That's for sure. And then there's the other one. Did you want to read that?
Well, I'll read it, and I won't use the word.
Yeah.
But Johnny Vegas text us. This guy, Mickey, is one of the biggest frauds out there. Talk to my host at Caesars and Dealers in High Limit. They welcome his losses there.
Yeah.
Here is his Instagram. He took it down. Gee, I wonder why. You know, and I'm not trying to, I usually.
There's so many of those.
But I never usually go after any one individual. It's just not a good look for me.
Well, it should be an individual because once he goes away, there's going to be someone else to replace him.
This guy is polarizing.
Never stops.
He has the tattoos all over, and he talks. I tell you what, he's a good talker. He sounds like he's real. If I wasn't a street smart knockaround guy, I would probably listen to him.
Street sound knockaround.
No, I'm just saying I would probably listen to the guy. You know, like he says, oh, I was in. Yeah, the casinos all hate me. And I, you know, and then he's talking about having sex with all the dealers and you know, there's certain things that really irritate me. And this. The only reason why I am mentioning his name, because a lot of people do watch it, but you're right. We're probably going to make, especially on this program, very small indent in his life. But you know, Liz, people put him on. Everyone puts him on shows because he gets a lot of views. I refuse to. I won't put someone like that. You know, so, John Orlando said, hey, we should put him on the show where I can get
see?
To him.
It's your co-host saying like, John, that. No.
But John is Joe Public.
Yes.
So John's like, yeah, but you know, some of the stuff can be true. Like, John, there's no way I'm putting someone like that on my show. You might as well have him and Vegas Dave on the same episode.
Well, it's funny you bring that up. I have a friend here who I remember like 5 years ago was like, hey, do you know Vegas Dave? I'm like, oh my God.
You see?
Yeah.
You see? And
no, I don't. I'm sorry to tell you. I don't.
You know, it just bothers me that. But, you know, you said something during, I never realized that during the last session. I never think about that. We're going to put some small little, maybe one or two people can see it and maybe tell someone, but we're such a small impact on this guy's world. This guy gets millions of views on shows.
Yeah.
He's getting big spotlights. Like, you know, I'm friends with Vegas Matt, who's a big slot influencer. So I never met him. I'm friends on Twitter. We've talked a couple times. Now, I'm going to put Matt on one of my shows. Eventually, Matt and I will get together and do a show. And I like that I can, I already know, because I just watched one of his shows. He doesn't admit to being a winner. I love that. He's an influencer. He plays big. He plays giant, and the casinos allow him to film. He's betting ridiculous amounts of money, losing tens of thousands of dollars sometimes on a show. But once in a while, he'll win $100,000 or $50,000. So once in a while, he'll win that. But overall, he is a losing gambler, and he's making the money back because he's making seven figures a year on his social media.
On his social media.
Yes.
I mentioned this about a month or two ago, so forgive me for repeating this, but along the same lines, there might be, I don't know if it's happening or not, but at the time, someone was trying to do a sports betting documentary for HBO. And I think they had got green lighted for like three episodes. Anyway, you might remember the story. So they put me out here with two other people. One was this social influencer, young blonde girl who could, you know, was as sweet as could be. And then there was another guy was as flashy as could be. And essentially they were both like, I want to remember precisely what it was. It's like, oh yeah, remember there was a Cowboys kick where Brandon Aubrey missed a kick at the end of the game to keep the spread what it, you know, was. And they are convinced, Bill, there is nothing I can tell them, right? They are convinced that quote unquote, Vegas made a call, right? So it's all part of this. it's a cousin of what we're talking about, which is people are so easily influenced by our brains. The human brain is flawed and wired to want to believe conspiracies, the flashiness. Remember the action documentary that you were in, Showtime's Action Doc. The whole thing with those producers, I've said this before as well, they were like, oh, no, don't worry. The way that we portray Vegas, Dave, is people will see, like, the con is so perfectly displayed. They see it. It's like, and then he lost the games. And so it fell into their laps. And they're like, oh, my God, we got this. We got this so perfectly mapped out. Obviously, everyone's going to realize it. And you know what? At the end, the biggest takeaway was people are like, yeah, but he's got that house in Cabo.
That's exactly right.
And he's got that car.
I had someone say, well, you have a Kia. He has a Rolls Royce SUV. That's what matters to me. Never knowing how he got the truck, just knowing that I drive a Kia because I'm smart to have a vehicle that, you know, has a 100,000-mile warranty, whatever it may be. But yeah, no, that's absolutely true. I actually gave in recently to a friend of mine who wanted to argue with me about video poker. I actually showed him every month Las Vegas has a chart of where, not Las Vegas, Nevada, what denominations, how much money they make per denomination and what game pays the best. You know, it makes the most money. Blackjack and penny slots dominate Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And in general,
if you look at the monthly revenue, yes
blackjack and penny slots are always number one and number two, dominating the market. So he said, well, video poker, you're better off playing a higher denomination on video poker too, Bill, because it pays back more. And I'm like, no, that's not what it does. Not video poker, that's the reels. The video poker, the payback is on the screen. So if you're playing jacks or better, there's the payout. That tells you the percentage. It's a mathematical formula that anyone could figure out, or you could just Google it now, of course. And he wanted to tell me, no, you play a higher denomination, you get paid back more on video poker. This is a friend of mine, and he actually knows a little bit about gambling on sports anyway, but I just gave it. I said, okay, all right, that's fine. I mean,
after a while, you don't even, yeah.
Yeah, you just want to give in. What do you want to read? I can see you want to read something.
There's a couple. Corey Henderson, 775, says, Gil, listening to you at Crack this morning, what is the definition of a knockaround guy, and condolences to you and your family on your mother? Thank you so much for the condolences, but what's the definition?
Knockaround guy. You know, there's even a movie called Knockaround Guys. Yeah. Knockaround guy. In other words, you're not a 9-to-5 guy. You live odd hours. And, you know, basketball season, I'm up, set my alarm for 5 in the morning. And nighttime, I'm up till midnight sometimes. So it's crazy. Now normally, and you don't answer to no knock around guy. You don't answer to anybody. You don't have a boss. You don't have a set schedule you have to answer to people by. And you know, not only that, you live differently. You live differently. You spend money like an idiot. I'll be honest with you. I wish there's portions of my life I wished I didn't do. I wish I had the value for money, for dollar bills. My brain is always wired to tip first. Like I want to go to a restaurant and I want to tip first.
Right.
I'll give the guy that pours the water.
We've had this discussion before where I'm like, Bill, you realize what you're tipping right there, right? Yeah. Like, yeah.
And then I want them to know I'm going to tip you. So just time is money to me. Stay on top of me. I'm not trying to be a big shot, but here's $10 for the guy, the busser. And the people really don't tip the bus person. Oh. What do you tip a captain? Anyway. I like to give the bus guy money. Last night I did it. I gave the bus guy money first last night. And you want to make sure the waiters know. So I'll mess around with them and tell them what I'm going to tip. I said, listen, you're doing great. Right now you're up to 11%. Keep going, though. You're doing. So they know they're going to get a good tip from me if I don't actually give them a 50 up front or something like that. Maybe a knock around.
This is my favorite tweet of the morning. Not knocking anybody else's, but you'll understand why. This is from the numbers guys. His daughter, Elaine, had a blast this Halloween as Bill Krakenberger. Look how cute she is.
She is. She's so
dressed
cute.
Dressed up as you with the Kangol and the shirt.
That's the shirt. I have that shirt because I ordered them from cubavera.com. A shameless plug for a site that gives me nothing. But anyway, they gave me the shirts, and the shirts are very valuable there. I love those Cuban type of shirts.
He said, thanks to the Guayabera. He said, thanks for the inspiration. Maybe I watched too much Visa at the house. I don't think so. I want to know how far they took this. Like, was she going around trick-or-treating going like, you know, you're going to lose all your money betting parlays, and these teaser prices are horrible. I want to know how far they took it. Look at Elaine. Thank you, Elaine. More with the Crack Man next.